Good morning. So, for those of you who don't know, my name is Samantha Spiegelman. I am the assistant youth director here. And I am not in Market Street this morning because I get to preach to you guys. So, when the theme for the summer series first began being discussed, it was made clear that we were being asked to find a biblical character and revolve a sermon around them. So, okay. Then the conversation narrowed to the Old Testament. Okay, there's still a lot of options there. Then the conversation veered to a lesser-known biblical character from the Old Testament. There were several concerned looks at the table upon that arrival. However, me being me, I found the loophole to the whole situation. If all of the characters are lesser known to me, then I get all of them to choose from. So, in typical Sam style, I'm going to sidestep the directions a smidge. The character I've chosen is named Jochebed. It sounds like a perfectly obscure Old Testament name. And she herself kind of is. But I'm not just going to be focusing on her story, but how her story influenced her son. His name is used a few more times than hers, because he grew up to be the leader of God's chosen people. But before that, he was a baby in a basket named Moses, and that's where I'd like to start today. I'm going to start with Exodus chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. Now, a man of the tribe of Levi married a Levite woman, and she became pregnant and gave birth to a son. When she saw that he was a fine child, she hid him for 3 months. But when she could hide him no longer, she got a papyrus basket for him and coated it with tar and pitch. Then she placed the child in it and put it among the reeds along the bank of the Nile. His sisters stood at a distance to see what would happen to him. Then the Pharaoh's daughter went down to the Nile to bathe, and her attendants were walking along the riverbank. She saw the basket among the reeds and sent her female slave to get it. She opened it and saw the baby. He was crying, and she felt sorry for him. "This is one of the Hebrew babies," she said. Then his sister asked the Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go get one of the Hebrew women to nurse the baby for you?" "Yes, go," she answered. So the girl went to go to get the baby's mother. The Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Take this baby and nurse him for me, and I will pay you." So the woman took the baby and nursed him. When the child grew older, she took him to the Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. She named him Moses, saying, "I drew him out of the water." Now, like a good many stories of the Old Testament, this one leaves the reader with a good many questions and a short list of detail with which to try to answer them. We know that Moses' mother had two other kids, one being mentioned in the story. We also know that she somehow managed to become familiar enough with someone from the Pharaoh's court to become her son's wet nurse without giving up her true identity to him, essentially making her a servant of the court. A slave's life was a life of pain. It was a hard life of struggle and toil. It was the life of many nameless souls who endured terrible hardships for most of this time on this earth. We also know that Jochebed not only survived in this kind of life, but so did her faith. In fact, her faith didn't merely survive it, it fueled it. It fueled her to save Moses, to raise Moses, and ignite the faith in Moses that led him to fulfill the promise of Abraham. But that's getting ahead of things here. I want to jump back to where her story leaves off. You see, Moses' mother gave us one of the greatest examples of living a godly life, and it flies so far under the radar in this passage. She didn't just save her son and call it a day. She didn't just raise him in secret as his wet nurse and hope for the best. And she didn't just tell him what he should believe to be the truth. In fact, she spent most of her time doing what she could wherever she could. Her faith wasn't just her secret. It wasn't just her hobby. It was the driving force behind all her actions. Let me say it again. Jochebed did what she could, where she could, because she had faith in God. Like I said, her passage in the Bible is a little low on details, but I think it's safe to assume this woman was scared. At times, she risked her life and her son's life. She risked years of toil and pain and agony over her beliefs. I believe she came to know envy and doubt just as well as she knew fear of death. Still, she followed her faith and planted the same seed of faith in her son. Seeing her son's life not only saved, but to have him become one of the very people who were deemed far better than her in every way, surrounded by them, acting as one of them, and living among them. The doubt and the worry that comes with motherhood, along with all this, must have been almost unbearable to her. Almost. Still, she did what she could, where she could, despite no guarantee of the outcome. Today's world is filled with stories of good deeds going horribly wrong. They're easy to spot, and even easier to believe that is just how the world is now. A couple of years ago, the news was filled with the story of a hitchhiking robot, built to travel and see the world, getting from continent to continent on the kindness of human help alone. It lasted 2 weeks in America before being vandalized and dumped by the road in Philadelphia. Now, as Christians, we know God calls us to do more, to be better. He has a different vision for the choices we should make, the way we should treat one another, the way we should live our lives here on earth. But it can be hard to know what that looks like anymore. Personally, I think it looks like Jochebed. I think it looks like paying for the person's order in back of you in the drive-thru. It looks like going out of your way to pick up the toy the baby flung out of their stroller when the mom's too busy to pick up the toy. It looks like cooking a meal for your neighbors when their husbands had back surgery and their mom came down with the flu. It looks like doing what you can, where you can. Things like that don't often make the news. Most of the time, the effect is not even seen by the do-gooder. But if you listen to what God says, he tells us doing these things is not to see the immediate improvement. It's not for our instant gratification. It is for a much larger picture. When you take a risk on an act of kindness, you are becoming a builder of God's kingdom. When you do what you can, where you can, you fulfill his vision for us. You make it just a little more real in this world. Every time I stand up here during a service, I can't help but remark at the faces around and not think of all the acts of kindness I have witnessed here alone. I can't help but to think of those who risk wasting their time and message on a lost teenager. Those who went out of their way to find me and invite me to the Bible studies, the pool parties, to babysit their kids, or to listen to me vent. To turn off the church alarm when I set it off and then go upstairs and bake brownies in Fellowship Hall. That happened. To mentor me to be a better youth leader. Not only have all of you made yourself a builder of God's kingdom, you sowed the seed of faith and created another builder in the same process. By doing what you could, where you could, you continue the story where Jochebed's cuts off. Because just like the people in your lives that showed you how to take a risk for someone else, You showed me how to act in kindness and love, and showed me how to do what you can, where you can. You showed me and the others around me. I want to read my favorite psalm of all the psalms, and I'll explain to you why it means so much and why I made it the scripture for this message. If you say, "The Lord is my refuge," and you make the Most High your dwelling, no disaster will come near your tent, no harm will overtake you. For he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. You will tread on the lion and the cobra. You will trample the great lion and the serpent. Because he loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. He will call on me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. That psalm was written by Moses. Jochebed's impact didn't end when she was no longer in Moses' life. When he was in a court dedicated to worshiping false gods, in fact, the culmination of her impact on him occurs very near that time, when it says he went out to see his people. When I first began attending Sunday school here, I was terrified to speak. It took all my nerve just to put my envelope of money in the offering plate when it was passed my way. But someone saw me. My Sunday school teacher saw that I could talk when I was asked to read the Bible. So that teacher continued to ask. He continued to encourage. I can't say for sure because I didn't think to ask him before my sermon, but I'm pretty sure he didn't do that because he thought I would be a Sunday school teacher myself someday. I am sure that he did what he could, where he could, despite no guarantee of the outcome. The psalm I read isn't just a passage of comfort. Like I said, it was written by Moses. It was written after his mother taught him faith. He went out walking to see his people, after he had influenced so many others. Being in youth ministry has given me a particular set of people skills. One of those includes bulldozing excuses, because having a job with teenagers has given me a VI pass to the best pool of excuses there is. And I know that they're not the only ones who make them. We all do. I don't have time. I don't know how. I don't really know them. Yes, all of those may be true at one time or another, but to that, I have one last passage of scripture. It's Galatians 5, verse 22. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there is no law or excuse. I bet hearing those gifts brought a couple of faces to mind for each of you. It is my hope for all of you that if not today, then someday you are reminded of yourself in one of those gifts, that you can know in your heart you did what you could where you could. I know my message was short, but I'd like to close us in prayer today. Will you please pray with me? Dear Lord, wonderful Maker, I want to thank you for each of these beating hearts here today, for the gifts you bestow to each of us. I pray my words are received as your great message of hope, and I pray you give us all the faith in you to do what we can, where we can, always. Amen. Thank you.